Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Coming up on this episode of White Wine Question Time.
My wife's at home with this new baby, no sleep for 5 days without speaking to me, and I read her, and I'm pissed out of my mind. I'm sorry I've been in touch. I'm just on the piss with Cameron Diaz.
Oh my god, I bet she hated you so hard.
I shaved my head.
You shaved your head?
I went full Britney.
Jeez, did you?
Yeah. Because I didn't want to be recognised. I passed to Mayor Don. I make a break into space. I'm thinking this is going to work again. But this time, Mayor Don gets attacked. Stupidly gets the ball away. And I shout. For fuck's sake, Diego. That's it. Diego. For fuck's sake, Diego.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And my guest this week is a man who started out as a broadcast journalist, working his way up from local radio, or the BBC, to hosting shows like Tomorrow's World and Holiday, before hot-footing it over to BBC Sport to become an anchor for Grandstand, the Athens Olympics, Six Nations Rugby and Wimbledon. Born and raised in a very well-heeled suburb of Dublin, he graduated university in Ireland and came to London to study journalism at the London College of Printing. 10 years ago, he joined BT Sport, where he's presided over their rugby and GP moto coverage, as well as covering the rugby for ITV. And then last year, This Morning came calling, and he's now joined the show as one of their regular anchors, and he's going down a storm with viewers, and rightly so. He's a super nice guy with more than 25 years in broadcasting under his belt, who's as at home overseeing live rugby as he is dealing with whatever This Morning throws at him, even unwittingly giving a duck an orgasm live on air. True story. Ever the pro, he rolled with it, as he did when Bill Murray inadvertently crashed the live Major League Baseball coverage he was hosting for BT Sport recently, causing chaos in the studio. Maybe that's why viewers love him and have been so quick to take to him. He's a father of four. He's been married for 21 years now to Doon, and they live in County Wicklow in Ireland, from where he commutes to, well, wherever work takes him. It's been a while since we caught up. I am really looking forward to this one. Let's dial him in, shall we? It's Craig Doyle. How are you, sir?
Oh, gosh, my life just flashed in front of me right there. I know. Yeah. It's mad. It's lovely to see you. You're one of the first people in TV that was nice to me.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I met you at... You were with... I can't remember. I'm going to... You were with... Oh, Sue... Liz Bonham.
Yes. Lovely Liz.
And I was at a thing. It was a charity thing in town. And although I was in television, I didn't know anyone. And I was really at ease. Unease at the whole scenario. I didn't know when everyone seemed to know everyone, TV or TV. And I wandered around and yourself and Liz were at the bar. And I came over and bored you both for 20 minutes and went home.
You did not bore
us. well, you know, I was just happy to see smiley, welcoming faces. So yeah, that's a long time ago.
Do you know what, Craig? It really is, because I think you and I were both working in the same unit at the BBC. So we weren't doing the same shows, but we were both hosting their travel coverage. And you were like the daddy of the pack. You had the main job, the main anchor on holiday. And I came in and did films for them and couldn't believe, like I remember phoning my mum and dad going, they send you on holiday and they pay you. Now, obviously it's not a holiday, it's very hard work, but I just couldn't get my head around, like, you get on a plane and they pay you. And like my first shoot was in Antigua. I was like, I'm actually getting paid for this. Wow. And then I moved on to different segments of the show. And I literally, like you, saw the world courtesy of the BBC. It was mind-blowingly brilliant. And I always looked out for you at those, you know, when you have to go for those drinks.
Yeah.
That's where we would have met. I always wanted to come and say hi. And yeah, because you know what? We'd all share the same cruise. And I knew you were a good guy because the crews loved you. And they don't lie, especially after 6 beers in the bar.
No, they don't. 6 would have been a light night.
Yeah. If you were shooting with Roland Rivron, I mean, it's just a warm-up.
Yeah. I mean, it was an extraordinary time, wasn't it? Because we were making this TV show that was watched by 6.5 million people a week. Okay? You think about that now.
I know.
And there was no social media. There was no scrutiny. You just went off and did whatever you want. I mean, we just had the biggest nights out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And wherever you are in the world, you know, and, you know, not nasty stuff, just fun. And there was no repercussions, no one snapping you, no stories.
No camera
papers,
phones.
Nothing. But the other side of that, what was weird about it was that I spent my whole time on the road like you, and I do 28 trips a year.
Yeah.
And you'd be 4 of you away. So you're on this show that was watched by millions and millions of people. And you'd be in magazines and all that stuff over here. But you'd come home and you didn't feel like you were in TV. You didn't know anyone because you hadn't met anyone because you're on your own with the crew. And I'd go off. I was living in the flat with a couple of mates in Blackheath playing J5's rugby.
Yeah.
You know, it was so weird. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm TV. You must have this. I was like, no. It's as normal as it could possibly be. And we go to those nights out, Kate, and I'd be so completely intimidated by everybody at the table. I remember sitting beside Jeremy Clarkson at a dinner in the Groucho Club.
I'm sorry.
Years ago. And he was just, he just made me feel really uncomfortable for 2 or 3 hours. And I never went again. I remember taking a cigarette off and he was beside me smoking Marlboro Reds. And I was like, I was shaking with fear because Louis Theroux was there, all these amazing, and Jeremy Clark is an amazing broadcaster, right? All these people I really looked up to. And I remember I said, hey, sorry, Jeremy, Mr. Clark, could I have one of your cigarettes? I just have to do something. And he gives a cigarette and to the whole table and goes, hey guys, thank fuck he's human.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. And then he started rubbing my face, going, look at this fucking skin.
What?
I don't know what he was doing. I know I left shortly after.
Wow. That's sort of passive-aggressive compliments. I don't know.
I think he was just being ladsy, but maybe I kind of looked up to him quite a lot, and I just couldn't cope with that. Because we weren't, like, as you said there, you're away all the time, so you're not in the scene. Mm. So you just weren't able for it. And I remember being put up for a quiz show. It's a long time ago. And I went to do the quiz show, and the bosses of it turned around to a friend of mine and said, he was also on TV, and said, "We like Craig, but we hear socially he's very, very boring." I didn't get the I'm like, you've no idea. You've no idea what I'm like.
Where did that come from? Socially, he's very, very boring. Why does that mean that you're not qualified to host a quiz show?
Because socially, I was very boring. Because I guess, Kate, I was going to these, are not going to these do's, but when I would go, I'd stay for half an hour and just be a bit intimidated and leave. I was very shy in the environment. And I think in our business, everybody always seemed loud and gregarious and confident. And I'm like, I'm not like them. And our era had some brilliant broadcasters. This was the Jamie Theakston, Zoe Ball time. And you're like all these great people. And I never really felt a part of that.
Do you know, it's really interesting that you say that, because being part of that team at that time, certainly within the travel department, they spoke about you with such reverence. And you were, you know, you were, I guess what Holly is on This Morning Now, you were the figurehead of everything that sat underneath it. So we all, you know, I didn't sense any of that. I thought that they had huge respect for you, huge plans for you. You know, you were the chosen one, the golden boy. It was the gig of all gigs, right? You'd taken it over from, who had done Holiday before?
Poor old Jill. Poor old Jill Dando.
Jill Dando, of course.
Yeah.
Geez, you're no stranger to stepping into some big old shoes, are you?
Yeah, it's... That's show business, yeah.
Isn't it just? It
is. I mean...
talking of show business, how did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
Just good with them, you know? And then we're way around the duck.
Ducking out.
Ducking out. So, I love animals, right? I mean, not that much.
Not much.
And I don't know. I'm weird with animals. I melt. We had seven puppies in the studio today. I just melt with animals. And... I'm talking to this duck and I'm rubbing its tummy and it goes, just starts doing this weird thing. It's like, it goes into this trance. And then I think I'm like, it has a pee. And I'm like, oh no, the duck's had a pee. And the owner goes, that's not pee. As this white liquid streams from her underbelly. She goes, you've just made her very, very happy. I had ducks dropping into my DMs for weeks, I tell you that. Sliding in.
Oh my goodness. So, but then, do you know what you did? You just recovered brilliantly. You sort of laughed it off and threw back to the studio. You just rolled with it.
It's so there's a great thing that happens, Kate, as you get older in television and you literally stop caring what people think.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't care anymore. And it's so liberating. And it makes you a much better broadcaster because you're not concerned. You're concerned about the show. And, you know this show needs to be these things. And you'll do that. And if you end up being the punch bag or coming out of it a bit stupid or a bit undignified, you don't care. And it makes work so much more fun. And I work with some young people and I can see them worried about what people might think. And it holds them back, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, I just roll with everything now. It doesn't matter.
Even Bill Murray.
I cleaned up a dog poo. I cleaned up a huge dog poo live on telly today.
Did you? Yeah, but if you've got four dogs at home, haven't you? That's like, you know.
Dogs, cats, everything, kids. Yeah. Everyone's pooing. Everyone's pooing in my house.
Exactly. You're just one big poop scoop.
That's it. Poop, spook, scoop, toilet unblocker. That's what I do.
Bill Murray. That was one you didn't really see coming. It's one of those kind of... tales of be careful what you wish for, because John Goodman from Roseanne was in the crowd watching this huge game of, was it baseball?
It was baseball, yeah. It was one of the London series. It was a proper Major League Baseball game. So the Cardinals were over playing and it was great, you know, the whole against the Cubs, Chicago Cubs. So Bill Murray is a Cubs fan and John Goodman is a Cardinals fan. And on the first day, play over 2 days, the first day is I interviewed John Goodman. And I don't know, he was very reflective. We had an interview last about 5 minutes and he got quite upset. It was really interesting, quite emotional during it. And what a lovely man, you know. The next day they said, Bill Murray's here. we're going to send them over to you. He's going to give you 1.5 minutes. That's it. I'm like, that's fine. That's fine. So Bill Murray comes over. I'm completely in awe. It's goddamn Bill Murray, you know. And just before we go live, I'm going to break it. I said, Bill, how do you want to do this? And he said, what do you want to do? I said, whatever helps you, man. And he goes, I'll play it straight, throw some questions, then I'll play around for a minute, and then we're done. I said, beautiful. So it's fairly straight going. And then he starts messing. I can see he's getting a bit giddy. And then I spot John Goodman over the far side. I'm like, John's here. And he goes, all right. I said, do you want to say hello to him? He's like, yeah. I said, can we get a camera on this? The two of us start climbing over barriers. And then it just kicks off. And he's throwing stuff. And it's chaos for 8 minutes.
He was singing Sweet Caroline. You had to join in, didn't you?
Yeah, sang Sweet Caroline with him. He's throwing stuff everywhere. It's just kicking off. But it's chaos. But on the final bars of Sweet Caroline, he manages to open a baseball cap, stick it on my head, and shake my hand and walk out of shot as the music ends. Like, he knows what he's doing. But it was cool. It was great. It was great.
See that those moments I love. I think that's when you really come alive doing the job that we do. It's also where you earn your money. So for me, I welcome those moments, but I know some people would literally, you know, lose sleep at the thought of it.
That's when it's at its best. Auto cue, you could do that all day. It's doing your sleep. That's the chaos is the fun stuff. And actually, off the back of that, I'm the new host of ITV's NFL show with OC and Jason.
Are you?
Which starts this Friday, yeah, because the NFL saw that stuff and went, who's this guy?
So he did you a massive favour.
Correct.
Next time you need a job, who are you going to call?
Bill Murray. Good, I
Bill
see what
Murray.
You've done
there. Got it?
Very good.
I'm here all week.
You'd be looking for 50%, buddy.
Before we jump into your first question, you've just come off air this morning. You were at the NTAs last night. How's it going, fitting in with one of Britain's most familiar families?
I'm really enjoying it. I've been in and out of there for about a year. And then, obviously, what happened before the summer. And I was able to just kind of help them out on that front. And probably enjoyed it more than... Well, I hadn't really considered what it would be like, but it's great fun. It feels like proper old school telly, you know what I mean? And it's very welcoming, brilliant production team. I love, like, Holly Willoughby is an absolute goat. She's a very lovely, lovely human being. And probably people need to realize that, you know?
She really is. She's also an excellent technical live presenter. And she never gets the props that she deserves on that front either. And, you know, full transparency, Holly is a proper, genuine friend of mine. So obviously I'm going to say she's great, but I actually genuinely, stepping back, think she is technically fantastic. And you're right, a good go-to person.
One of the best I've ever worked with, ever. And I didn't know Holly beforehand. I've met her once or twice, but as I said, I don't really mix in any circles. I had no prejudgment, nothing. I went in there. And I only ever judge people by they behave with me, what's in front of me. I don't care about anything else. And I can spot an arsehole from a very, very far distance. She is a wonderful person, a really, really kind, lovely person.
It's so lovely when actually meritocracy comes into play and somebody's experience counts for something. And that's what was so nice to see you get the call up.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Yeah, it's nice. I didn't expect it. I feel like I'm on my second, if not third, lap of this business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had it reported back to me, you know, when gigs come up, they go, yeah, like Craig, well, he's just not famous enough, or he's not showbiz enough, or he's not something enough.
It's a bit boring socially.
Yeah, he's socially boring. That whole duck thing is weird. It's so nice to be enough. To quote Ken from Barbie, it's nice to be enough.
Bless you, we're quoting Ken. Are you ready to dive into the first of three questions for you?
Yes.
Great.
I am ready.
The first one is all about first impressions. Because when you first met your wife, Dune, I would argue that you didn't make a great first impression based on the fact that you went to check her out in a gym that she was working at, but you didn't have any gym wear. So you turned up in shorts and shoes, which is deeply unsexy, Craig.
It's pretty unsexy.
First impressions go, I mean, you obviously had a bit of a mountain to climb in terms of pulling it back from there and turning things around. So could you tell me a little bit more about that one? And also, when something has started out with a bad first impression that you've managed to turn into something that's come good.
The mountain was Himalayan. She was working part-time in a gym and was studying design. And a mate of mine, Neil Ryan, who's tall, handsome, gravelly-voiced, dark, rugby player, kind of, he's like, daughter, hey, you got to see this bird now. I met her. She won't come near me, though. She won't come near me, but you got to see this one. She's up in the gym. Come on, we go up. And I said, Reiner, I've got like nothing with me. And I'm in a pair of like black shoes and socks.
And socks!
He gives me shorts and a t-shirt. And I go in, clap, 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 shoes into this gym. And I see this girl. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, no way. This is like, she's so out of my league. And then she gave me a pass to come back to the gym again. I wore trainers at the time. And we went out.
Please tell me you wore proper gym wear.
I wore proper gym wear. And we went out for four of us, one of her pals. And Neil, we went out for FIT lunch after she finished her shift. And then there was a long period of me just being terrified. Until finally I was in a nightclub called Annabelle's in Dublin, which was very famous. I'm sure you've been there.
I have.
And another mate of mine, Niall, and another friend, Mark Riley, literally picked me up and pushed me in front of her. And I started talking to her. And still no kisses.
Still, she wasn't biting?
Well, I was so terrified. I didn't want to know what was going to happen next. I mean, she was so beautiful. I was like, this is, like, ridiculous. I had no chance. So we went on a date in Greystones. I wore a woolly orange polo neck. Woody jumper thing that was torn in there. I mean, what was I doing? I was driving a white mini Metro. Oof. And the date's going quite well. And I looked at my watch and said, I have to go. I've got to collect my mum from bridge.
That's worse than shoes in the gym. And or is it? It's quite sweet.
And then it was the moment I should snog her. It was like, it's snog time. And I shook her hand. Yep.
How do you end up marrying this woman?
Duck's orgasm. And I'm not that guy. So,
well, you are, as we know, Craig, you're good with your hands.
So that was that. And then we just, you know, something. We just went out on a load of dates, and the rest is history. So yeah, that was a fight back.
You really had to claw it back then. But have you ever had, you know...
I knew I was in love very, very quickly, though.
Did you?
I don't think I'd ever been in love before. And I knew I was in love after about 3 or 4 weeks. Like, oh, fuck. So this is what it feels like. It's horrible. I feel sick. I don't like it.
Well, you're so out of control, aren't you? Mm. Your emotions are not your own.
Awful.
Did you not like falling in love?
That doesn't feel good.
Because of the lack of control?
The butterflies and the... Yeah. Can't think about anything else.
Well, fortunately, you've only had to do it once.
There you go. I mean, there's been odd duck, the odd goose.
When do you think she's got to see the real you when, you know, once you've managed to get past all your awkwardness?
First date. I mean, that's me. I am quite awkward.
You're not.
I'm awkward. Come on. You know, you've seen me at do's where I'm wandering around not knowing what to do.
Looking for the exit.
You should have seen me. You should have seen me last night at the NTAs.
Go on. How was it?
God, it gets to this red carpet. So I'm in a bus with Phil Vickery, Lisa Snowden, Shan, Sharon Marshall, Dr. Scott Levin. And it's taken us an hour and a half to get across London to the end.
They put you all in one bus. I thought they'd be like the royal family and make you all travel separately in case there's a terrible accident.
What would happen daytime?
I know. Lorraine would be extended.
Sorry, we're showing you Midsummer's Murders for the next week. Everyone's dead. We got like separate little van things. Literally just jump in when that was available. But like we're halfway across this and I'm like, I can't go to this. They're all describing the red carpet to me. I haven't been to one of these before, okay?
No.
I've never done
never.
This.
No. In 25 like, years?
I know, but I just wouldn't go. I wouldn't get invited. I'm not on the crew. I'm not on the gang. So I never get invited. So I'm like, there's the same things. We need to stop. I went in like a load of cans of gin and tonic and cans of lager. And we just got a bit tanked up in the car. And Lisa Snowden, like, she looked at my face when we stopped at the red car. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, no. So what do I do? She goes, fine. She literally held my hand up. And then, so you do the first bit. And there's kind of group shot, and then a couple of people ask. So you go on a red carpet, there's two fears. Somebody's going to photograph you and ask you a question. Or the other fear, nobody's going to photograph you or ask you a question. And for both to happen, or one of them to happen, you have to basically walk out in the red carpet and just stand there like this. And hope somebody goes, Craig, over here. And if they don't, you just like, it's really awkward. So I did the first bit with everyone else. And then I saw the next, like this running track, and I just ran up it. I didn't do one photograph.
Did you not?
No, and I looked back, I put everyone behind me. All the other this morning people were all like doing all the thing. Like, fair play. I wish I had the confidence to do that, but I don't. So, yeah. You know, 52 years old, man.
You're like roadrunner down that red carpet. Oh. Beep, beep.
How do you handle that kind of thing?
With the same trepidation that you do, actually, and I try to avoid the questions. Just get the hell in there. Yeah,
it's more difficult for a woman as well because you're so judged on how you look on those occasions. It's like a meat market. It's weird, yeah. You know.
Which is why I think, you know, it's really interesting. Actually, I was chatting to somebody yesterday and I just said, you know, I'm at a stage in life now, I think, where I prefer to be heard rather than seen. And yeah, it's probably a lot to do with, you know, not feeling as confident in yourself as you once did. But equally, it's like, actually, I'd just rather be judged on what I've got to say rather than what I look like in a dress, which was probably my entire primetime television experience. You know, you'd come off air and you'd kept the show on air when the auto cue went down or something went wrong, and you're all wanting to like get straight up to gallery to go, oh my god, that was well done, guys, well done on that and that and that. And then you've just got somebody sat there going, I'm not sure about that green dress, you know. You're like, really, just fuck off. Yeah,
I know. Like, you know, it's not fair, is it?
It's tough. No. And it's unfair. It feels unfair. So yes, I think women do have, you know, a far, far more difficult time of that. You know, you just stand there and go, which of these three suits shall I wear? They all look the same. We don't get. Yeah, yeah. But hey, you know.
On the plus side of it, on one side of the red carpet are all just TV fans, public. Yeah. And you can have lovely chats all the way. And that's quite nice. Look, I'm not knocking it. It's part and parcel of it. And this is on me and my insecurities. Not being able to deal with it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's something I find difficult. And I get why it happens. It fills magazines, it promotes shows, it helps with publicity for lots of things. Even charities and stuff rely on this stuff. So I get it. I'm just saying that I personally find it difficult.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're alone. I think there's a lot of people that have genuine sort of, you know, anxiety at the thought of it. It's not natural. Actually, what we do isn't natural. No. You know, it really isn't. It's the most bizarre thing in the world when you actually boil it down, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's because it takes, you need to be a bit of a show off and probably a bit of a narcissist to do it in the first place. But it's also great fun. Mm. Like it's
it
great
can be.
Fun. Yeah. And you meet cool people and you hear great stories and it's challenging and there's a really brilliant, brilliant side. It's not all about being on telly or being on radio or being on a pod. Like, it, there's an enjoyment to the process.
Oh, no, it's the job. I love the job, don't you?
Fun, yeah.
I've always said I love the hour, you know, that of whatever you're doing. It's all the stuff that gets wrapped around it that has less appeal.
Yeah.
The politics.
Yeah.
Are you famous enough? Are you thin enough?
Yeah.
All of that stuff. But I think that's changing slowly. I really do. Has there been any other time when you've made a devastatingly bad first impression but have gone on to recover it well?
I've said some really stupid things to people. Like, really stupid things. There's like my favorite chat show host in the world. And I met him for the first time. I was on the show and then I met him afterwards and said something trying to be funny. I did. It was awful.
And who was the chat show host?
I can't even think about it. It's probably 15 years ago. It still gives me reflux.
It's not Terry Wogan.
No.
Oh, thank God for that. Parky.
I'm trying, you know, but it was bad. I actually can't.
Gay Byrne.
No,
Irish legend.
I don't know.
Is your lip sweating?
I have a moment every day where I do something I regret like that. I would have a very short attention span and I would have huge difficulties concentrating. And I like to get a reaction. I've always been like that since I was a kid. And it gets me into trouble constantly. So yeah, that's a bad first impression.
Jeez, you need to adjust your filter, my friend.
Can't jump.
Because the thing is, when you do a show like this morning, you genuinely start to forget you're on telly because it goes on for so long.
All the time.
Yeah, I've done it loads.
When you're looking at a bit, kind of rehearsing where you're going to walk to and stuff, I'm like, even this one, are we in telly now? They're like, no, it's 15 minutes of it. Yeah. So I'm wary talking about this because it's funny, we have an item about ADHD tomorrow on the show. And I'm wary talking about it because it's quite a lot of people talk about ADHD and having ADHD and all that. But as a kid, the doctors didn't know what it was called, but they spoke to my mom about there being a thing. They tried to medicate me more than let them medicate me. And it was only later in life that I got a diagnosis because my kids were like, why do you, my forgetfulness, you know, worried about me. Like, you can't believe the things I forget, crash cars, things I say, the way I deal with calendars and dates and things. I have three different calendars. I have a wall calendar, a file of fax, and a phone. They all have to. So if I can't see a week on a wall, I can't understand it. So if you're saying to me, you would say to me, what are you doing next Thursday? I'd almost go into a panic. And my wife in particular was at me for years. And just, can you please, I think you've got something up. And so I went and got it all checked out, and it turns out there was, which was like a form of ADHD. But it is very complex, and there's different forms of it, and there's a hyperactivity side, which I don't have, but there is another side of it, which makes you very disorganized, very difficult to deal with numbers, deal with information given to you, and you have no filter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Let's go to our next question.
Go.
Timing is often everything. And I wondered, when has timing in life worked for you and when has it worked against you?
Well, I think in most businesses, but particularly in our business, you need to always put yourself in numerous positions where if the timing becomes right, you're there to kind of jump in. I guess what you're doing is making sure you're in the space if something comes along. And that can take years sometimes, you know. So, you know, I've had numerous jobs over my life, you know. I was doing rugby and ICT for a year. Then the opportunity came along with BT, and it was just good timing. I was in the space, and that opportunity came up. And, you know, it changes and you grow, and you have to move on to keep yourself interested. And, you know, that's why we do this gig as well, isn't it?
Totally. But also, I remember when we were doing the travel show. So, I mean, I even now, Craig, I stand back, and when somebody says, what's been your favourite job? For me, it has to be doing all of the travel shows, because I would never have seen the world in the way that I did.
No.
And it, you know, for a working class girl from the country, it absolutely broadened my horizons. It taught me so much and I loved it. But I had to give that up to take the X Factor.
Yeah.
So I'd managed to juggle it doing Pop Idol, but it just wasn't workable. And frankly, the network didn't want me doing a big BBC One show when I was doing a big ITV show. So, you know, the timing there was both a blessing and a curse for me. I know for you as well, when you stood down from holiday, it was because you needed to be at home. You needed to be present in your family's life. And you can't be when you're on a plane every second week.
No, it wouldn't have. It would have been a disaster. My son came with me. He was like three on our last trip to New York and the Queen Mary. It felt like a way to end it. I didn't find it difficult to leave holiday because I was moving into something I really wanted to do, which was like when I was in school at 14 in careers there, I told him I wanted to present Grand Slam on the BBC and I was laughed at in the room. And they sent me off to do work experience with the tea marketing company. Going around supermarkets, making sure shelves are stacked.
Because that's like that, isn't it? They're similar. Like,
it's so similar. And I thought, fuck, you know, I'm going to do this kind of by myself. So when I was doing the holiday program and Grandstand was sitting there, something that was going to happen in the future, it was easy to finish the travel show knowing that. I didn't realize what drama lay ahead, but
So actually the timing was good in so many ways, but in other ways probably not, because ultimately you ended up leaving there after how long?
Well, the timing was good there, get into it. The timing was wrong when it came to the Athens Olympics, because I wasn't ready to do something at that scale. I was working with some brilliant broadcasters. So you had Steve Ryder and Stu Barker.
Blimey.
And Gary Lineker as the main anchors. And then Claire Balding and I doing other stuff. So Claire and I presented the highlight show from Athens every evening. And then every second day, I would do the daily Olympic coverage. And I was so raw. I didn't have a clue. I think I'd only presented 4 or 5 grandstands. And that was my first time ever in a live studio.
Wow, in at the deep end, Craig.
Yeah,
that's a big jump from working with a 4-man crew and one camera.
It's like cooking dinner for your family at home, and then a week later having to be the head chef in a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy.
It's huge, and I failed really badly. And the timing there is wrong, because a year later, I might have been okay. But It was so bad. The newspapers were so nasty every day, and I read them. And
oh, don't read your reviews.
Oh man, I mean, there was like a front page of the Sunday Independent, and I'll never really get over it. I'll never get over it because of how it affected my father, mum, particularly my father. But the front page of the Sunday Independent, while I was in Athens, said Doyle hated in Britain. Now, imagine reading that about your child. I always think about that from my dad's perspective, my mum's father. And because I was just wasn't very good at that. But and it was just awkward. It was all, in fact, one MP apparently tabled a question in question time about my suitability to be working in the national broadcaster during an event like the Olympics.
You can't have been that bad, Craig, sorry.
It was bad.
Was it? Really?
Yeah, but also...
Are you just being hard on yourself because you believed the press?
No, bad. Okay. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And what happens is once that starts, you're on every night. So judgment's made, that's it, you're toast. I've seen it happen to others. Mm. And
but how else so do you learn, right? How else do you learn to become a live sports reporter that's used to working at that level on multicam? There is no other way to learn apart from on the job. That's the difficulty.
I probably needed to go a bit slower.
Yeah.
But I think I'd come from the holiday program where I guess, I had no self-awareness of my position in the TV world. I said, well, the way in traveling around the world, I didn't know I was a TV person, star, whatever you want to call it. So they think they could just plop me into that position, and I wasn't ready for it. So that was timing that was bad, really bad. And ultimately, then the BBC didn't want to renew my contract. And I had two children, like a proper meltdown. I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I slowly built it back up again, doing smaller bits for them and kind of fixed it. But it took a long time. So I'm so grateful when something like this morning happens. I'm so grateful. Like, I cannot tell you how grateful I am.
Well, you should. I mean, it's great to have gratitude, but equally, you've never stopped trying to improve, Craig. So I would argue that it's very well deserved.
Well, you can't. Can you? You have to always work to improve.
But people don't. People don't. A lot of people think all they've got to do is walk into a villa on telly, possibly get it on with somebody, and therein lies a broadcast career. And in some cases, that turns out to be true.
Yeah, well, I told you about my first day with my wife. That is this gig walking into Casa Amor?
So you say, how'd you deal with it? Like, listen, I'm sure for you, when you talk about it, it stirs up a lot of... You know, it stirs up a lot of stuff where you go, am I enough? Am I good enough?
I shaved my head.
You shaved your head?
I went full Britney on it.
Jeez, did you?
Yeah. Because I didn't want to be recognised.
Yeah, I get that.
I didn't want anyone. It's like, because you go mad, right? And you think every, because it's your bubble, but it's no one else's bubble. No one else really gives a shit.
They don't, honestly. We make it so massive in our own minds, don't we? Yeah.
Back then, I wouldn't know. I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I often think about it when you go like Florence or something, you see like it's a statue. And it's cracked and broken at its most beautiful. And you think, so like when that was made, it was all kind of clean lines and lovely and probably looked great, but it wasn't as interesting as it is now.
Yeah.
You know, the cracks and the weathering make us more interesting.
Well, in Japan, when they repair a broken vase, they repair it not with glue, but with like a gold leaf so you can see where the cracks are.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Get it.
That's what we are, babe. We're just two old broken vases.
Cracked gold blinds.
Finally, before we move on to the next question, in terms of timing, talk to me about the time you get a phone call to say, Craig, we want you to play football for Soccer Aid and Maradona's going to be on the pitch. And you get to hear a commentator go, Doyle to Maradona, Maradona to Doyle. I mean,
unbelievable.
That's a moment, isn't it?
That is a moment. And not even, I mean, that the time was great of that phone call. I remember getting the call and getting on the tube and thinking about it and then saying yes at the end of the tube journey. What was really exciting was Ruud Hullett.
There's a blast from the past. Didn't he do a lager advert?
He did. I had a really bad moment with his wife in a lager. God, you just reminded me. Because we all lived together, we all stayed together in Chelsea Harbour. And we were having drinks one night, and I spoke to his lovely wife and himself, and I was awkward, the awkwardness, you know, the geeky awkwardness. I was telling you about everybody's there. Robbie and Brian McFadden are singing on the piano and Gaza, and I'm just like, this is mental. I love it, but I feel I'm just imposter syndrome. And Ruud Hullett is the team manager. It's going to be with his wife. It's been really nice to talk to me. I can imagine, oh, fuck, we're stuck with this guy. And I'm gesticulating, telling some story, and I knock the half-pointed beer out, and it goes in the air. And I make it to bed right after. But Ruud Hullett selected his starting 11 for Soccer Aid live on TV the night before.
Right.
They had a special Soccer Aid show on Friday night on the deck in the studio in South Bank. And all, whatever, 25 of us, 26 of us from the rest of the world squad were there, and he named his starting 1 to 11 live on TV. And I remember him going, number one in goals, Peter Schmeichel. Number two, right back, Craig Doyle. And I'm like, this makes sense. Number three, Dunga. Number four, Marcel Desailly. The whole thing was nuts. So we played this match. I was terrified. I was also terrible. I was responsible for both of England's goals. I was awful. But I did. I was terrible.
Rugby is your game, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm shit at every sport game.
Okay. I was trying.
I play every sport still. But I'm terrible at both of them. I'm geeky. I run like a duck. This is why I can make ducks orgasm. I basically run like that. I pass the ball. Peter Schmeichel passes me the ball. Schmeichel, hit me, pass me the ball. I see Maradona's free. I lay off a pass to him. I make a break. He passes back to me. I put in a cross. 5 minutes later, Schmeichel, give me the ball. Ball, 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 ball. He rolls the ball to me. I make a little break. I see Maradona's free. I pass to Maradona. I make a break into space. I'm thinking this is going to work again. But this time, Maradona gets tackled. Stupidly gives the ball away. And I shout, for fuck's sake, Diego. That's it. Diego. For fuck's sake, Diego. So at halftime, I was like, yeah, you've got an injury. I'm like, no, I'm great. No, you have an injury. You're gone. But it was an extraordinary time. Extraordinary moments in life.
Yeah, for all the times where the job makes you want to shave your head or, you know, crawl under the nearest duvet, there are those moments that make it so memorable, aren't they?
But it's 99% awesome.
Yeah. It is.
Even this case, like I haven't seen you in years, and we shared kind of almost side by side our kind of our youth in the business and grew, and you went off and did your other thing. And then you get, because of this broadcasting common interest we have, we get to chat.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing. It's a very generous industry for lots of things, you know.
It is. And do you know what? It beats actually working for a living.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've never had to do it.
Professional duck orgasm giver.
That's right.
I ain't got that on my CV. Yet. Okay, third and final question. Your passport has seen some proper action over the years. What are the best stories that sit behind some of the stamps that sit within it?
That's a good question. That's such a good question. I've been through, I don't know, maybe that's worse. The whole life went through three. And I always had two on the go because one would be off getting a visa.
Yeah, that's what I remember. We were allowed to have two or three passports, weren't we? Felt so special.
How is this allowed?
I know. I've lost my passport. Don't worry, somebody's just going to fly a new one out to you. Like, how does this happen? Yeah. Like, how does this exist in the real world? Yeah,
just get a new one. It's fine. I remember I went to Belize. I always wanted to see more of Central America. I should have gone to see more of it. Went to Belize. That's a good passport stamp. Nice.
Yeah. I did Nicaragua. You did Belize. I was, yeah.
A Z on your passport and a name passport. Yeah. Good. So I go to Belize and I go to the middle of it. I mean, we do a couple of days in some amazing resort, and then we go to the middle of nowhere, some river, and we're like, I'm in a shack. And like, do you remember Ed Venner? Remember a producer called Ed Venner?
Yeah.
So I'm with Ed Venner, and middle of nowhere, and they've got this shack, 10 people camping, and there's a river, very remote. And they have this shack, and they're serving rum, white rum. So they got white rum here. So we're tucking into white rum, Dan and I, and I'm chatting. I said, hey, there's a parrot. They want to block up down this river, but there's a very rare parrot lives in this river. And it's going to go extinct if they take away its infrastructure, environment. And it'll be really sad. I wonder, should we talk about that when we film here tomorrow? Yeah, yeah. And next thing I hear this voice behind me, this slight American accent going, I'm sorry, sir. What did you say about the parrot? I'm like, well, it's interesting. Look, because can I sit with you, my friend? I'm like, sure, yeah. So this beautiful woman, blonde woman, sits down to me, and she gets her rum, and we're chatting and about the parrots. She's asking what we're doing, and then we're about 6 minutes into the chat, and then I go in my head, you're Cameron Diaz. And I'm like,
did you tell her who she was? Did you do that?
I didn't. I'm like, what do I do? So I'm like, I don't know. How do I tell her she's Cameron Diaz?
Because she's clearly not aware.
So I'm like, what are you doing here anyway? She goes, I'm here. You know, this is my fan upstairs. We just decided to come and see this part of the world. What are you doing? Well, I work at television camera. At this stage, I don't think I even know her name because we haven't. Oh, no, she has introduced herself then. But we never mentioned the fact that she's Cameron Diaz. Right. Or might I add, did she mention that I'm Craig Doyle?
Aren't you that fella that's
From the Everest BBC? Windows?
Yeah.
So we chat and we have a great time. We actually get quite drunk. And
she looks like she'd be fun to have a night on the beers with.
She was great. And I said, listen, Cameron, tomorrow I'm kayaking along that river for this show on the BBC. Will you come with me? Of course I will. We're going to film an item with Cameron Diaz tomorrow. That's cool.
And
we keep drinking. Yeah. But we get a bit pissed. We're talking about music. She's like, I really like this guy, Justin Timberlake. I think he's great. I'm like, oh, I hate him. He's awful. And I like the music. I like when I was young, I was into like Pixies and all that stuff. There's an Irish band you probably know called The Frames, Glenn Hansard, The Frames. And Fitzcarraldo is the greatest album of all time. And I have the CD in my backpack. And I said, I'll be back in a second. I give her Fitzcarraldo by The Frames. You know, listen to that. It'll change your life. Not that Timberlake stuff. I didn't know she just started going out with.
Oh my God, you didn't know. Well, of course you did, but
how
would you? Yeah.
How would I know? And then she had a huge satellite phone with her. Now, Quinnie, my eldest, was weeks old. And I'd been away for like 5 days without talking to my wife because we're in the middle of the jungle, right?
Yeah, because back then you couldn't get a line out sometimes. You would be filming somewhere and you could go for days without.
It's amazing. Right?
Yeah. I miss that.
You met people, you actually had stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Because no one knew it. What have you been up to this week? Well, because I know most of it. I've watched it on your Instagram, but it was none of that. You just
no!
So my wife's at home with this new baby, no sleep for 5 days without speaking to me. And I ring her. God knows what the time difference was. And she's like, I hasn't slept. And I'm pissed out of my mind. Like, I'm sorry I haven't been in touch. I'm just on the piss with Cameron Diaz.
Oh my God, I bet she hated you so hard.
Like, yeah, right. I'm giving you a home goodbye. I love it. But
how old was your baby?
I'm going to say about couple of months. Month
or two. Wow, and you ring her, she's probably got cracked nipples, she's knackered, she's knackered. Not sleeping, she's not heard from you, and you're on the piss in Belize with Cameron.
In the jungle.
Diaz.
I wonder, did she ever listen to the frames that said I got a full
That she's was back cool. in her room going, I'm just singing, I'm going to rock your body.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake, what?
Well, that's a good one. That's a good stamp in the passport.
That's a good one. Yeah. Where else? Falkland Island.
Falkland Islands.
Falkland Islands. I was there 10 years, 20 years. 86 was the war. 96, 2000. So there, 20 years after the war, and you know, I felt like the place hadn't changed at all. It was extraordinary. It was like the 1950s. The pub in Stanley didn't have any beer taps, like cans of beer, you know, darts kind of beer. It was lovely, very English, right? But very odd, very lovely. But I walked up to Tumbledown Mountain, where the main battles took place. Tumbledown overlooked Stanley, and you could see where the battles were, and it was almost hand-to-hand combat up there. But these young men, you know, 10 feet apart, going at each other with bayonets. I mean, horrific. But underneath rocks, there were Argentinian soldiers, blanket and plimsoll, some bullets, and tins of food, and it's because they just cleared out of it. They just ran out of it. These were young men who were ill-equipped to be over there in that weather. In plimsoll, like used to wear in the gym when you were like, you know, in the 70s, you know.
God,
no food. They're ill-equipped and probably didn't even know why they were fighting against British soldiers in this island. And it was really harrowing to see all that. And it really stuck with me for a long, long time. And then... yeah, there was just stuff strewn everywhere. And just hearing some stories apparently after the war, when it all finished up, everyone just left. And up in the around the hills, there were just all these weapons. So the locals would get pissed and the tins of beer in the pub, and they'd go and like, be firing bazookas at rocks.
Oh, God.
But it was extraordinary. Like, time had stood still, you know.
Yeah.
That really sticks with me. That was a very beautiful one as well.
I think travel teaches you so much. I'm so glad I did.
Mm. Where's your favorite place?
So many. I did an amazing trip in Uganda, where I trekked for the gorillas. Yeah, it was amazing.
I remember.
And I remember waking up. So we were in Uganda, and it was in the same camp. So they'd asked the BBC to come back and film there to kind of encourage people to come back, because tourism was a huge part of their economy. And previously, there'd been a terrible incident where rebels had kind of risen up, Rwandan rebels had risen up one morning in the jungle and gone into camp, and tourists, foreigners had been killed. So people stopped going there, and they needed to bring people back. So there we are, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn, as you do, to trail the gorilla poo to try and find them. But I did put myself in the shoes of the people that would have been doing exactly what I was doing that morning, without knowing that, you know, trouble was literally just around the corner by way of Rwandan rebels. And then you get into the jungle. And it was where they'd filmed Gorillas in the Mist with Sigourney Weaver. Mm. And we found them. And like that moment where you, and they say, don't look them in the eye, but you can't help. You can't, right? And they say, don't look them in the eye, don't look them in the eye. And of course, what do I like that? Because there is a humanity to them that is so hard to describe unless you are looking one in the eye. And there were babies roaming around. So we found a mother and her babies. And I tried to move out of the way to accommodate a shot. And obviously it got too close, because out of nowhere, it was like King Kong. This arm came through, and it was the silverback. And I was pushed back. I was put in my rightful place.
Yeah.
Back of the queue.
Oh my word.
It was humbling, inspiring, amazing, unforgettable. So
and that was holiday show.
That was for the holiday show. No, it was a show. So do you remember that you started doing all these spin-off strands? Because they were like, Jesus, like 6 million people watch this stuff. Let's do some more. Yeah. I was like, I'll do it. So then we did this thing called Holiday 10 Best.
Oh, yeah.
Where you'd repurpose old films from holiday.
Yeah.
But then I'd go off to the number one destination. So it would be like best train journey. So like I went to
Blue
Peru. Yeah, I did Machu Picchu with my dad. Like my dad and I got to go and, you know, travel up to Machu Picchu on this glass-fronted train, and then we came back on the equivalent of the Orient Express there. It was, you know, my dad still talks about that. So, you know, the value of those experiences really does live on, I think.
And you can travel to Machu Picchu. The best time to go is in January, and the accommodation is on a room-only basis.
Exactly. But your room will feature a shower over the bath. Do you remember when you'd have to do the room shots? You're like, I hate doing the room shots. She'd have literally be stood in this room going, it's a room.
And if the room was really shit, you'd go, so this is the room. It's small, but it's everything you need. Walk to people with a view like that, you're not going to spend much time inside. Cut to you jumping into the pool. There are three pools in this resort. Most of them won't give you listeria.
Exactly. But there were so many experiences. And we're like, when we went to Nicaragua, we stopped off. You go into Antigua first, which is this beautiful World Heritage City. Amazing. And then they went, we're going up to Tikal. And you know what it's like when you're in the rhythm of those shows? Like, you're doing a trip every other week, it feels like. And so you're just kind of going through the itinerary as you know, you take it day by day. So you're going to Tikal, you're going to the Lost City of the Jungle. I was like, what's that? Anyway, it was bizarre. It stayed the night at Francis Ford Coppola's lodge on the edge of the lakes, right? Amazing, amazing. And then this beardy guy, I wish I could remember his name. Anyway, takes us on a trek into the jungle to find the ruins. It's like a Mayan, it's the lost city of the jungle, right? And nobody can work out what happened to everybody. Where did they all go? And the hieroglyphics are amazing. It shows that they were doing, you know, dentistry, open heart surgery, cesarean sections, like all this mind-blowing stuff. And they were like, would you like to join in on a dig? And I was like, I remember standing there going, Jesus, pinch me. This is the best job ever. I never want this to end. And I had one of those old brick phones with an aerial that you had to pull up. And my phone went, right? So I'm like, hello? And it's my agent saying, this show that they want you to do on ITV, X Factor, the one that you've got to give all this up for. We've just signed Sharon Osbourne. And I remember standing over these ancient ruins going, Sharon Osbourne, are you kidding me? That's amazing. What a great booking. It's just funny how your worlds collide, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Funny old life we live in, isn't it, Craig?
No, it's great. It's great.
We'll change it for the world.
I look here.
Thank you so much for your time today. It's so
I'm taking my shoes off now.
Oh, yeah.
Excited. Yeah.
Are we getting comfy?
Yes. I feel a smooth couple. Here's the weird thing about doing this morning. It legitimizes like a 3 o'clock snooze.
Of course it. Are you going to go have a nana nap?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got to go to the Gherkin later to do a Rugby World Cup chat with Brian O'Driscoll and Lawrence Telalio. And I'll have to lose before that.
Yeah, totally. It's our age. Take your shoes off. Look, this is how I broadcast in smiley sliders.
Oh, no.
Stylish.
Oh, they're great. Thanks. Where'd you get those?
Amazon. They even go in the dishwasher.
So well done.
I've never
even
felt sexy as I do saying that. My shoes
even
go in
your
dishwasher.
Green dress.
Craig, it's so good to see life treating you so well. May that continue. And it's been so lovely catching up with you.
I feel
like we're in our early 20s again, about to head off to Heathrow.
I know. It's great. I really enjoyed it too, Kate. It's always been great talking.
My huge thanks to Craig, who you can catch on This Morning and on ITV's rugby coverage. And for more chat with some of his colleagues from This Morning, we've got episodes in the back catalogue with stalwarts like Richard and Judy, Josie Gibson, Ruth Langsford, Eamon Holmes, Fern Britton, Lisa Snowden, and so many more. I'll be back on Tuesday with more vintage vignettes from the White Wine Question Time cellar. Until then, thanks so much for your company.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.